Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Listen to the people who might include your local bodega owner.
Lebanese Americans have been serving this country since the 1950s. You have an obligation to support all of our people.
The words, if you had trouble making them out, Yemeni Americans have been serving this country since the 1950s. You have an obligation to support all of our people. Those were sounds from Brooklyn's Borough Hall yesterday, where thousands of the city's Yemeni bodega owners closed their stores from noon to 8 p.m. and gathered to protest President Trump's travel restrictions on seven Muslim-majority nations, which include Yemen. Any bodega owners listening right now, I wonder, who took part in the protests? Call us at 212-433-WNYC. Who plays the Brian Lehrer Show in your store? Call us up right now, and you'll get a voice on the air. 212-433-9692. Now, last week, the city's taxi drivers, many of whom hail from some of the seven banned countries, also protested by striking for an hour at JFK International Airport. That was part of the big scene there on Saturday night. And while your calls are coming in, we'll start off this conversation about protests by the providers of some of the city's most important services and at their own personal expense with Bhairavi Desai, executive director of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. Hi, Bhairavi. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Good morning.
What was the origin of yellow cab drivers taking an hour, if not off, at least away from JFK?
Well, we were just outraged, you know, by this executive order, just so inhumane and cruel and, you know, really bigoted. And we're a workforce that's largely Muslim and Sikh, and so we have families that would be directly impacted. And, you know, just the levels of, you know, Islamophobia that are fanned, you know, lead to hate crimes, and drivers are already 20 times more likely to be killed on the job. And we've always seen, you know, that there's a high rate of, you know, racial violence against drivers. And so we could not be silent. We needed to speak out.
Some people have criticized both the bodega workers and the taxi drivers for inconveniencing many of the very people who support their cause and otherwise stand with them in solidarity. Like, if the issue for people from the seven countries at JFK was they couldn't get out of the airport, you were stopping other people from getting out of the airport.
Well, you know, I mean, inconvenience is one thing, but what we, you know, injustice is something much greater. And actually what we saw when we were at the airport, where, you know, as people, as travelers were coming out, as exhausted as they were, you know, they're, you know, moving their luggage, many of them were throwing like the fist in the air, giving high fives, or beginning to chant, as tired and sleepy as they looked. And so, and I've read reports of people on planes just, you know, clapping wildly when they heard that the reason for the delays of some of the landings was the protest. So I think that there is deep-rooted support. I think it's growing. It's been massive across this country.
Also with us is Linda Sarsour, executive director of the Arab American Association of New York. As some of you know, she was one of the four co-chairs of the Women's March in Washington on January 21st. Hi, Linda. Welcome back to the show.
Good afternoon, Brian. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Linda.
And you were at the Yemeni protest yesterday in Brooklyn, right?
I was. One of the proudest moments in my organizing life.
Tell us why.
I mean, to see Yemeni business owners, small business owners from across New York City decide to use their power that they may not have ever realized they had, and to shut down their businesses and come out in the thousands to Brooklyn Borough Hall was just a beautiful moment. Many of them are immigrants to this country, some of whom English is not their first language. And I think they were really inspired by the taxi strike, because even within the taxi industry, the overwhelming majority are immigrants, overwhelming majority are Arab, Muslim, and or South Asian. And to see our people finally realizing their power to demonstrate peacefully in this country, it was just remarkable. It really was a proud moment.
There was a generation when so many of the bodegas were Korean-American owned. Now, I think a lot of New Yorkers don't even have a sense of how many Yemeni-American owned bodegas there are in our midst.
I think it's even more than the thousand. It was those thousands that shut down their businesses and bought their employees and came out to the streets of Brooklyn. But I want to give a little quick historical context that the Yemeni community, actually, this is not their first time in the organizing model. They actually originally came to the United States as farm workers in the Orange Farms. And I remember reading about them being on the front line of the picket line for farm workers. Naji, if you remember, there was a farm worker, Naji Ali, which a lot of people know about, and he's in a lot of the history books, who was actually killed as a farm worker, organizing in the 1950s in the United States. So they're almost bringing back a legacy of organizing, and their young people were so proud of them yesterday. It was a very, empowering moment, and Again, if this country is good enough for Yemeni money and Yemeni business owners, then we need to stop telling them that their families are not welcome here. They make New York City great. They run all the newsstands. They run these small businesses. And yesterday, people will tell you, and I saw people on social media say, man, I can't get my coffee. I can't get my, on my way home from work, I'm trying to pick something up. And to feel inconvenienced that your local stores are closed, not knowing that those very people's families are being banned from coming here. And I saw one sign on a store that said, today closed, my relative is detained at JFK. I mean, that was such a profound sign to put, that here's a guy providing service to a community, and then his family member is detained at JFK and can't come into the country. It's absolutely ludicrous and absurd.
Let me get a couple of callers in. Miriam in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you so much for this segment, Brian. Good morning to you and your guests. So I just want to report from the stairs from yesterday, from the Borough Hall. It was really very touching to see this Yemeni protest. A lot of young Yemeni American men who were protesting for their citizenship, for their identity. They were born and raised in this country. They are totally American, and they serve us coffee in the morning, most of them. So, and one of the best signs I have seen was held by this young man, and it said, actually, give me coffee. And the other thing I wanted to say is that I would like to give a shout out to Debbie Montefiore, who was really great with her, very feminine voice, but she had the authority to speak to this big crowd of young Yemeni. They were so beautiful. And also Sarsour, Linda Sarsour. And also I want to just let you know that there were more speeches made on the stairs by Yemeni-educated women than men. And that is a big thing for the Yemeni, American Yemeni community here in America and New York City. Voila, it was beautiful.
Thank you so much. Linda, you want to reflect on that at all? And maybe even the gender participation?
Absolutely. I mean, Marion makes a great point. I mean, obviously, most of these business owners are men, and that's why there was a majority of the attendees that you see in a lot of the pictures are men, because that's just how it is. But to her point, the people who are addressing the crowd, who kept the crowd riled up, who were given the most eloquent, inspirational words, were actually Yemeni women, many of whom are doctors, some of them are PhD students, some of whom run organizations. It was really beautiful to see a predominantly male crowd, but the majority of the speakers were women, and specifically women from the Yemeni community. It also breaks down the stereotypes when it comes specifically to the Yemeni community, as some people have dubbed them really conservative and backward. And yesterday they proved to the rest of the world that actually, no, they're organized, they understand how to stand up for justice, and the people at the forefront of their movement are actually women.
Bharavi Desai, Executive Director of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance, I want to ask you a question about your arch enemy, Uber, which you spoke out about because I guess they kept driving during that hour that the yellow drivers were boycotting JFK Saturday night. They did suspend surge pricing, I gather, a little later, maybe as a defensive measure, once the hashtag delete Uber started trending on Twitter as people accused Uber of trying to profit off the strike. So yesterday, as I'm sure you heard, Uber CEO Travis Kalanick dropped out of Donald Trump's Business Advisory Council. He didn't want to be associated with it anymore. What's your reaction?
Well, it was a nice start, but you know, the reality is there, you know, the real Trumpian connection is in their business practices, where you know, they don't believe in minimum wage, they don't believe in recognizing the employee status of the drivers. They fight even workers' compensation cases of injured workers. You know, and at the heart of it, you know, they are the business model that is perfected kind of a mainstream, even you know, within the progressive world, acceptance of deregulation, which is the Trumpian business philosophy. So, you know, it's nice to see Mr. Travis having to step down, and it feels nice. Like, this is the same guy who said repeatedly he wants to bring in the driverless car because of the dude in the front seat costs him too much money. So it's nice to see this dude lose his front seat at the Trump table. But it's just the beginning. There's a lot more to be done. And I want to say that for us, the strike was fundamentally in solidarity with the refugees and our Muslim brothers and sisters. And we've got our eyes on the prize. We have to, you know, undo this vicious executive order and, you know, and all of the things that we know will be coming down the line. The movement, the Delete Uber movement, was started as a solidarity in defense of our strike. And I can't tell you, Brian, how deeply moving it was, but it also really signified that people, you know, like people have our back. People understand solidarity. There is a growing movement across this country that is multiracial, multigenerational, that is saying we need to protect our democracy. We need to stand up against racism and this obvious bigotry.
Noah in Crown Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Noah.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. So the bodega on our corner was closed down yesterday, and a bunch of us on our block have decided to do a buy out the bodega campaign this weekend, which basically means we're all just going to try to stop into the bodega and buy stuff we might not normally buy, maybe things you get at the supermarket or something special. It can be for ourselves, or might do it and donate to the local shelter or food pantry. The idea is not just to help our neighbors kind of recoup some of the losses from the protest, but also just to show solidarity, let people know that we got their back and we appreciate, you know, what they do for the community. It's real easy to do this if other people want to do it. There's actually a Facebook page, Buy Out the Bodega, and you can download and print out a flyer and organize it on your block. Real simple. Just put them up, give them out to your neighbors. Mm-hmm. This Saturday and Sunday, we're doing it.
You're basically helping them make up for the money that they lost by shutting down the stores for a day
to attend the
protest.
Yeah, exactly, because, I mean, they forewent maybe thousands of dollars of sales at peak business hours. But also we want to help make the money back, but also show them we got their back. We rely on these bodegas, and these folks are a member of our community, and we want to support everybody.
Buy out the bodega, Noah in Crown Heights. Thank you very much. By the way, Linda, somebody tweeted us that the terminology here, it shouldn't be when I said, oh, it used to be the Koreans, now it's the Yemenis. The Koreans own stores that are more accurately called greengrocers. The Yemenis own things that might be more accurately called delis, and the bodega is a particular Latin American thing. Have any thought about the language? And we have 20 seconds.
No, I think I appreciate the point, because a lot of bodegas are also owned by Dominicans and other, you know, Latinos. But I think for me, it's like my dad owned a bodega. It was in a deli out in Crown Heights on the corner of Troy and Montgomery. So I appreciate bringing in other communities, and we should be able to say that in a more diverse way. But I don't know if it's about the word. It's about the solidarity and the organizing.
Absolutely. Linda Sarsour, Executive Director of the Arab American Association of New York and one of the four co-chairs of the Women's March in Washington on the day after the inauguration. And Bhairavi Desai, Executive Director of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. Thanks to both of you for giving us a few minutes.
Thank you.